Father, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, in our service this morning, as we shift our attention now to the Word of God. I pray you would help me, help us as we listen today. God, would you take this Word and cause it to bear fruit in our lives? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably not too many of you realize this, but Angela, my wife, and I, we reached a milestone recently. On October 17, 2010, Angie and I were set in as the lead pastors of Harvest City Church. That was 15 years ago. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? 15 years ago. Few smattering of applause, no booze, I'll take it. I haven't spent too much energy thinking about it, in all honesty. In fact, I was sort of forgetting about it until Mary Williamson came. She never forgets those things. And she had some kind words for us. But I have gotten choked up a couple times as I've thought back to that day. You know, if I'm honest with you, there have certainly been some pressure-filled moments, some stressful moments, some painful moments over the last 15 years. I used to have hair. It's gone. But there have been many more moments of celebration and joy and thankfulness. How many of you were here 15 years ago when Ange and I were set in on this stage? Just raise your hand if you were here 15 years ago. Okay, put them down. How many of you were not here 15 years ago? Raise your hands. More people have come in the last 15 years than were here before. I remember that day just saying, God, I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to ruin this church. So the fact that there's more of you here now than then, God's been good. When I think about what God has done, the lives changed, the ministry started, the amazing people who've come to our church, my heart truly is full of gratitude at the faithfulness of God. He has indeed helped us. And I feel like I've learned so much over these 15 years. Thank you for allowing me to grow. Thank you for your grace. I have much greater appreciation and value for some things today than I did 15 years ago. I used to place great worth on the gifting that people had. I was very attracted to those who could preach amazing sermons, be so charismatic and dynamic and funny and demonstrate all the gifts of the Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles. I wanted to have all those same things in my life. And today I still appreciate those things, but they hold way less value to me than they once did. You see, I've seen too many people with great gifting who crashed and burned because they lacked the personal character and integrity. And I now realize that gifting is much lower on the list of what is important. What is more valuable to me now is dependability and consistency in character and in conduct in those around me. I tell you, it is what I want to demonstrate more than anything now in my own life as well. My wife, Angela, in 10 days celebrates her 50th birthday. I had mine a little less than a year ago for 12 days, we're the same age. In this December, we will have been married 28 years. So that's pretty good. I'm just looking for applause everywhere I can get it this morning. I can tell you that in the beginning, I fell in love with Angela because she was pretty. She was sporty. Those were two important values for me. And we had a lot of fun together. She had a lot of qualities that I admired. But she has some others that I had no idea then how much I would appreciate and value as we grew old together. I told Angela the other day that one of the things I admire most about her is her consistency. This might surprise you, but in our marriage, I'm the emotional roller coaster. Shocking. Angela, she's the steady Eddie. She's a hard worker. She knows how to persevere. She has quiet strength. She has a servant heart. She's humble. She pursues daily growth. She doesn't run from a challenge. She knows how to keep her head. She's dependable. She's consistent. Like the rest of us, sometimes she has her insecure moments. And sometimes in her low spot, she compares herself to other people. We all do this. Compares herself to those with maybe more public or upfront gifts and feel like she's falling short a little bit. But I told her the other day, and you know how to walk with God. You know how to keep steady. You know how to keep moving forward. Most people don't know how to do this. Most people don't know how to have a steady, consistent, daily walk with God. Angela's consistency and steadiness have actually been a tremendous source of strength to me. And sadly, it took me much longer than it should have to realize how crucial it was to my own ability to do what I do. Angela's character is a foundational piece to the success and the stability of our marriage. As we talked about this, it got me thinking about just how underappreciated consistency and steadiness of character is. And it has stirred me to turn our focus on this quality for the next 4 weeks. We often refer to our Christian life as a walk with God. A walk is a repeated step. It's a consistent pattern of movement, isn't it? That takes us to a destination. And I believe, we believe as a church, we talk about this all the time, that God has a calling and a destiny for every person. But our ability to walk in our calling has a lot to do with the consistent manner that we live our lives with. Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be steady, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." I believe that walking in a way that is steady and consistent matters more to the Lord than any gifting that we can demonstrate. And it's a key ingredient to living a life of impact. I want to talk today about why that is as I introduce a series we're going to do for you for the next 4 weeks that we're calling The Power of Steady. And the first reason is this. Consistency reflects God's character. When I think about God and all his amazing characteristics, there are so many that we could mention. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a way maker. He's a life giver. These are just a few of his wonderful traits. But I think his greatest attribute is actually his unchanging nature. In Malachi, God says about himself, I am the Lord and I do not change. In Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James 1:17, it says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul writes, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He is faithful. That's who he is. It's God's faithfulness and his consistency that is the bedrock of our faith. It's the foundation that we build our lives upon. It's what gives us an anchor in the storms of life. It's what gives us hope in times of despair. Why don't you fall apart when you make a mistake or do something that you never thought you would do? Because the scripture says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Every time you screw up, you get up because you know the mercy of God will be there. It never runs out. He will always have mercy for you. He will always have grace for you. It's new every morning. Why do we have strength to endure in times of trial? Because God has said to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And so when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because God is with us. What gives us assurance in the midst of our greatest fear? The perfect love of God that never changes. Paul writes, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. His love is consistent through our ups, through our downs, through trials and tribulations. God's love remains consistent. Nothing can separate us from his love. Church, it's the faithfulness of God that is our greatest source of strength. The psalmist David marveled at it as he worshiped God, declaring, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. There's no limit to your faithfulness, is what he's saying. I'm not sure that there is anything greater that we can say about God than this. I'm also not sure that there are any greater words that we could ever hear spoken to us than God saying to us one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not well done, you are such a great preacher. Not well done, you did some great miracles. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithfulness or consistency or steadfastness are characteristics of the nature of God and allow us to build our lives on a rock. These are traits that we should also hold then as the highest value in our lives if we desire to reflect our Father in heaven. It's not our gifting that impresses God. It's not our gifting that he rewards. It's our faithfulness. Number two, consistency turns faith from a spark into a flame. In Romans 12:11, Paul wrote, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. Stay hot is what Paul is saying. Keep burning. When I look back over my life, I can remember those moments in my teenage years when I would go to a youth conference and get touched by God. Often because of the message, I would be convicted or something, and I would come forward to the altar, often with tears, and respond. There were moments when God was igniting something inside of me. They were sparks. But for several years, those sparks never turned into a flame that burned consistently. And many of you have heard the story of the night when I had a powerful encounter with God that changed me, changed everything for me. And it was that time that spark became a flame. 30 years later, I'm still burning for Jesus. I've been able to keep my spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. How? By living my life with consistency. A spark is the start of passion, but consistency is the stewardship of it. Sparks are fragile. They burn bright at first, but they can quickly go out. The only way to turn a spark into a fire and keep it burning is to tend it regularly and fuel it often. Daily disciplines like seeking the Lord in prayer, turning my focus on the Lord in worship, serving the Lord with my talents, being willing to deal with the issues of my heart as the Holy Spirit reveals them, living in obedience, saying, God, what does your word say? Even if I don't like it, I'm going to follow it. Those kinds of things have allowed me to keep the fire in my heart burning. I refuse to allow grass to grow on my path. Here's what I mean by that. I read a story one time. I don't know if this is true. I think it is. We'll say it is. Sounds like it would be. I read a story one time of an area in Africa where the early converts to Christianity were very committed to the daily discipline of prayer. Sounds like Africa, doesn't it, Moses? Africans know how to pray. Each believer had their own special place outside of the village that they walked to for solitude during their time of prayer. And each day as they walked, they begin to form paths and trails in the bush. But if grass began to grow back on the trail, another believer in the community would lovingly come and encourage them and say, brother, grass grows on your path. You see, when grass grows on your path, your fire is in danger of going out. And I believe that we are responsible for keeping the fire of our hearts burning. The Holy Spirit is always willing to fill us. He's always present to empower us. He responds to hungry hearts, and he moves with those who move. But we must be the one who fan the flames. Paul said to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. There is something in you, Timothy, but you have to fan it into flame. There was a spark that was imparted when hands were laid on you, but turn that spark into a fire, Timothy. Consistency in action was required. I think that sparks are often emotional. We feel something inside in a moment that makes us come alive. But feelings are fleeting, and they often fade. Flames are different. They aren't built on emotion. They're built on commitment. You can step on the scale in the morning and get very inspired to lose weight when you see the numbers going up, 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 up. But we all know that that spark alone won't lead you to your destination. Only the daily grind of a consistent action will produce the desired result. I've had 30 years roughly now of faithfully serving the Lord. 15 as the lead pastor of this church. It's been quite a journey. Some days I have felt the passion just burning inside. Give me another pulpit. Give me another soul. I love those days. I get one about every 3 months. Many times I've just had to grind out one more day, because I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Consistently grinding, consistently showing up, consistently serving, consistently repenting, consistently praying, consistently saying yes to the Lord has allowed me to reap a harvest of fruitfulness. I do believe that my fire is burning hotter today than ever. And as long as I will continue to faithfully tend it and refuse to allow grass to grow on my path, I will continue to walk into the destiny of God for my life. Church, whether it is your relationship with God, your relationship with your children, your place of work, or your sports, the principle always remains the same. Faithfulness and consistency produce a harvest and turn a spark into a flame. You want to have a fulfilling marriage? Consistently, day after day after day, tend the flame, and it will grow and grow and grow. It leads me to my final point. Consistency will increase your capacity. As most of you know, we are a very sporty family. Poor Moses, coming from Uganda, he's been to 2 basketball games, he sat through 2 baseball games. He did go to bed before the extra innings last night, but saved yourself the pain we're all feeling this morning. What's going on? I don't know, Moses. It's too stressful. I can't explain it all now. But God has really blessed each of my 3 daughters with athletic ability. Admittedly, they probably get it all from their mother. But I did play a role, I think, in helping them to develop it. My kids love it when I use them as sermon illustrations, so I thought I would do that this morning. Many lessons to be learned along the way. I remember when my oldest daughter, Eden, was quite young. She had natural gifting that honestly separated her from most of the other kids in whatever sport she played in, particularly in the area of speed. When she was younger, she played a lot of soccer, and she became one of the top strikers in the province in her age group. But one day, in a tournament, she did something that got me really fired up, and I don't mean in a good way. In the championship game of a tournament, she subbed herself off the field in the second half of the game, claiming an injury. I knew she wasn't injured. Took everything in me to not climb down out of the stands, march down to the bench and say, "Coach, she's not injured." I was steaming inside. Angela was, "Remember, steady Eddie. Joel, breathe, breathe." I believed in that moment that a fear of failure was gripping her. She knew her team was counting on her to score. It was a lot of pressure. So it was safer to quit than to try and maybe fail. That night, we had a long chat in her bedroom. I was poking at it. "I was hurt, Dad. I was hurt." "No, you weren't. No, you weren't. This is what I think happened." Finally, she broke, admitted it was true. So we had a long talk that night about where our identity comes from. And we prayed against a spirit of fear. In that conversation and in many others we've had since, I tried to instill some values in her like this. Eden, never quit. Never quit. No matter how tough, don't you ever quit. Eden, never give in to fear. If you will give in to fear, it will control you for the rest of your life and steal your destiny. Don't ever give in to fear. When Eden was in grade 8, she got cut from the provincial basketball team, which surprised her. She had, honestly, the athletic ability and gifting to be on that team. But she didn't make it because she hadn't yet learned the value of consistency. At that point, Eden only practiced when she was in the mood. Or if I dragged her out onto the driveway. She hadn't yet caught her own vision and realized that her talent could only take her so far. Consistency, however, would enlarge her capacity. Getting cut from that team was the spark she needed. It lit a fire in her. She didn't ever want to feel that feeling again. And she began to grind. The more she practiced, the greater her capacity became. And she not only made the team the next year, but she got an all-star at the national championships. She got invited, based on that performance, to join a top club team in Toronto. But there she was at the bottom and barely played at first. She didn't have the same skill as some of those other girls, but I said to her, honey, you know how to grind. I'll work them. And every practice she worked her tail off. Every time she was on the floor, she had a goal to try and outwork everybody who was out there. Her consistency of effort eventually got her noticed by her coaches, earned their trust, and by the end of the summer, she had carved out a significant role. She got a university scholarship to the hometown Regina Cougars. But for the last 4 years, has hardly played because she's had two major knee surgeries, torn her ACL twice, separated her shoulder, virtually been sidelined for almost 4 years. But I'm proud of that kid. You know why? Because she does not stop grinding. With every setback, and I know, and Angela knows, we've wept with her. We've seen how hard the surgeries were and the recoveries were and the rehab has been. She's lifted many weights. She's jacked these days. She's shot thousands of shots over the last 4 years. She's rehabbed like a beast. She was so excited to finally be back this fall after 4 years, feeling healthy. And I was trying to subdue her enthusiasm and preach patience. I didn't want her to be too, you know, honey, you haven't played hardly at all for 4 years. Honestly, I didn't know if I'd ever see the kid I coached again. Maybe she would physically never be the same. But her very first weekend back, she stepped onto the court and immediately stood out. In the second game, she led her team in scoring. She led the team in minutes played. I think most people, including myself, were stunned. I think she even surprised herself. I think there's some who are wondering, where did this girl come from? But I'm telling you, that overnight success came from years of grinding, from consistency of effort. Many days when she didn't emotionally want to do it, but she just kept showing up for rehab and showing up for the gym. And the time grinding alone allowed her to suddenly flourish when the lights came on. You see, consistency builds capacity. It builds trust. It builds a foundation or strength that can carry a lot of weight. Who are pillars in the house of God? Those who are consistent. Those who are consistent in their character, consistent in their serving, consistent in their integrity. You build churches with people like that. Gifting may start something, but only consistency will sustain it and build it. It's a principle we see repeated in Scripture often. In Luke 16, in the parable of the talents, Jesus made the statement, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So don't trust them, is basically what he's saying. What you do in the little things increases your capacity. It allows you to be trusted with bigger things. David defeating Goliath, of course we know one of the most well-known stories in the Bible is where David burst onto the public scene. But there were many hours in seclusion where David consistently and faithfully worshiped the Lord, developed his relationship with God. He faithfully tended his father's sheep long before he became the shepherd of a whole nation. He faithfully fought against the lion and the bear before he ever faced the giant. He was consistent. The result was he enlarged his capacity. God called him to greater things. He became one the nation placed their trust in. But one of the great lessons from the life of David is that what you do daily prepares you for what God will do suddenly. What you do daily prepares you for what God will do suddenly. In my own life, you know that I had dreams of preaching and mass crusade evangelism that started when I was 16 years old. Those dreams were realized 24 years later, but it felt like almost overnight. But the reality was, is that my dad actually had taught me as a young man, as that spark was turning into a flame, some important lessons like, Joel, just keep showing up. Just be faithful. When a door of opportunity opens, just keep saying yes. There were many days when it felt like I was forgotten about, that dream was ridiculous. I would go into my dad's office, complain, just keep being faithful, son. Just keep showing up. Just keep looking for areas to serve. Just keep being a blessing. God is the one who will open the doors. I've often thanked God that he took me on the journey he did, because I know it prepared me for the moment. Over my life, my capacity has increased. So has people's trust in me. I remember even 2 years after I was set in as the lead pastor, I'm just thinking of this now, some of you came to me and said, you know, we had our doubts. Thank you for not telling me. My doubts were greater, believe me. But we don't doubt anymore. Consistency earns credibility. People trust what they can predict. I'm humbled by it, but it also scares me. The more I'm trusted and the larger my capacity, yes, my opportunity for influence is greater. But so is the possibility of impacting in a negative way should I stop living in a manner worthy of the calling that I've received. In 4 weeks, I'm going to preach the last message in this series. Anatoly and Jason are going to give you the middle two. But I want to talk in that last one. I already know what I want to talk about. I want to talk about legacy. I believe that legacy is the most powerful thing that we can leave behind us. I want to leave a legacy of faith, of perseverance, and love to my children. I want to leave that legacy to this church and to all those that the Lord allows me to have influence with. But this is what I know. if there is no consistency, there is no legacy left behind. Over the coming weeks, we want to begin to talk about some of the things that will help us develop this consistency and some of the things that war against it. My hope and desire is that through this series, we will begin to value what God values and realize that there is great power and great reward in being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Oh, I can't open it. Father, this morning we just acknowledge your faithfulness. I thank you, God, that you are consistent. Lord, you're more consistent than the rising sun. Your faithfulness, your mercies, they're new every morning. God, I can go to bed at night knowing that your love for me has not changed and will never change. Lord, I thank you that you will never not fail, or never fail, bad English, to be there for me when I need you. I thank you that you are always closer even than the air I breathe. And God, I pray that you would help us to take on that characteristic in our own life. God, I pray that you would even stir in us about the value of faithfulness and consistency. Lord, every one of us can be faithful. Every one of us can be consistent. We don't all have the same gifts. But Lord, you value consistency and faithfulness over them all. And we all can be faithful. And so God, I pray today that you would provoke us, stir us, Lord, in those areas in our life. Lord, we're not being consistent. Where we've been unfaithful. God, help us. When we remain faithful, unfaithful, you remain faithful. And so, God, you can help us in our unfaithfulness. God, help us to live those kinds of lives that leave legacies in our children, in our communities. We want to live lives that leave a lasting impact. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.